Welcome back to Inside Agriculture, market analysis time now, Thursday the 15th. Soybean oil had a great boost from a news release in the morning about renewable diesel. Here's Randy Martinson.
Some news coming out of the administration where they might be looking at expanding the renewable fuels numbers going forward, increasing the amount of gallons that we're going to push to renewable diesel fuel. That certainly would help increase the demand for bean oil, vegetable oils in general, and that helps support the soybeans and the bean oil here today. Wheat struggled, and that spilled over to kind of put some pressure in on corn at the end. And corn was trying to hold up there, but it just couldn't hang on to the gains here. It kind of faded here at the end of the day, part of the spillover from maybe wheat being a little bit lower. But tremendous list of export sales hit the market here today. We talked about how the lower price would bring in a flurry of buying, and boy, did it ever, as China came in about 204,000 metric ton of soybeans. Another 110,000 was sold to an unknown destination. Another 435 were sold to an unknown destination split between old crop and new crop. We even sold about 260,000 of corn to Japan, and another 500,000 metric ton of corn to an unknown destination. So tremendous, huge amount of sales being reported here today. Also,
not often that soybean oil leads the way in the markets. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Ag Marketing on AgriTalk, giving his take on the bean numbers on Monday's WASD report.
I was disappointed because I was in the group that thought yields were going to be down. I thought us harvesting dry bushels again, or dry beans, 8 to 9% instead of 13.5%. I thought for sure it'd be like last year where we dip a little bit, but no change. And the USDA numbers are what they are. I've got to adjust and move forward with them. And we don't have a real burdensome ending stock, Chip, but there's no bullish story to it right now, and that's a bit of a problem. On Monday, USDA raised it 3 million metric ton from Brazil. Yep. And we still got private forecasts as high as over 180. But I think looking at the forecast moving forward, there's some dry areas, but there's not really a huge problem. I think we're narrowing in on our range of estimates, and we're probably going to fall somewhere in that mid 170s. And I remember last year there were 171. So anything above that to me is a bit of a problem. I don't mean to sound like a bear, but it's just kind of been that weak.
And on corn, Dwayne?
I'm actually pretty much a USDA backer. I kind of say, hey, they're doing the best job they can. I know they're short staffed now, all of that. But this one, I said some words that I can't say on live radio after I got the report out. Because it was really frustrating. We shouldn't have large acre adjustments this late in the game. And that's what you're getting at. And I'm still not sure where they came from, because I was with, a lot of other people thinking, well, maybe silage acres are down, I tunned out well. But I'm hearing, no, that's not the case either. So I guess my question is, okay, well, where were we wrong at? Because if these numbers are right, then either the September report or the June report were wrong. One of the two, right? We've got this old crop burdensome supply, which that ending stock becomes the carry-in now. So it's hard to get a real tight situation without a pretty drastic weather scare. So, with the bearish news we got this week, it feels like we're still in the bearish commodity cycle. Therefore, my targets were more like, can we just make money instead of shooting for those home runs, right? But as much as I want to beat myself up about missing the report on Monday, we got to remember before the report, we weren't looking at unbelievably great prices either. We weren't looking at huge profits. So that's why so many guys were still hanging on or had bought bushels back.
Now let's jump over to livestock and feeder cattle futures. Oliver Slope of Blue Line Futures on AgriTalk.
Last week, I think we talked about consolidation kind of settling in and maybe establishing a little bit of a trading range in the mid 350s. And then we got a little bit of a breakout move on Tuesday, a little pullback yesterday, and then breaking back out again today. It's been a fairly orderly uptrend, which makes me a little bit nervous that there might be more upside potential left in this market, especially when you look at how funds are positioned, especially relative to where they were in October. Right now, funds are only long about 17,000 contracts. That's about half of what they were in the fall. So they've got room to add to that market. I still err on the side of caution, especially for those who have the physical risk. This is probably not a bad spot to look at some coverage. We see the RSI, the most overbought since about October. We see volatility at the lowest level since October. So volatility lower means protection could be a little bit cheaper. So options, I think, are a good way to establish that floor and kind of keep the upside open and see what this market wants to do going forward.
Yeah.
You probably have some sticker shock looking at the put options, but you remember we're trading at 360 feeders. We're not trading, half of what we're used to. So the numbers are going to be bigger. There is a gap up from October 17th. That's kind of the next line in the sand near 372. So we'll see if we get there or not.
On AgriTalk yesterday, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, trying to make money somewhere. And right now it's feeders. Let's take a break for a very important weather forecast on Inside Agriculture.